Right, good afternoon. Matthew Gilliatt-Smith, CEO of Fortium. Fortium is a content protection vendor, I suppose. We provide a range of content protection solutions across the media entertainment industry. We started doing optical disc copy protection, so we do anti-rip on the Academy Awards screeners, and we do digital file protection, particularly for the post-production stage. Now, this presentation is really about kind of how leaks happen. It might sound pretty obvious, but when you're in the in that kind of post-production stage, you've done the you've shot the movie, and it's now ready for editing, and you're working on the professional editing tools. You've got the RAW file, you've got the ProRes file, and it's in its full state, and that's when it's extremely vulnerable. Now, up until we developed MediaSeal, it wasn't possible to have encrypted content sitting in these professional editing programs. So this is what we want to avoid. We want to avoid these kind of rather high-profile leaks. Now, fortunately, these don't happen all the time. But when they do happen, my God, they hit the headlines. And they're very expensive. And, TV premieres are just as likely to leak as other big movies. Generally, what happens is that these are very far few between, but the leaks that can lead up to them is really where it all comes from. It's really what is the source of these things, and all of these are avoidable. And when we look at the workflow, we look at the sort of the levels of risk in the workflow. So again, I'm talking about post-production. If you look at the risk level from kind of 1 to 6, 1 being archive and 6 being the full crew release screener, this is what it looks like. If you can use encryption at rest, then you're reducing that risk level. And what encryption at rest means, in my terms, is encrypting content, sending it to someone, it remains encrypted when they open it, when they work on it, it remains encrypted all the way through. So that's what we're trying to do, is to reduce the risk profile. Now, this is a case study of typically what happens. This is an email that came from a live title. Obviously, I've blocked out the names. And it's from the guy in post-production. He says, look, here below is a file box. You can download the QuickTime movie, and you can look at the final credits and check them all off. Okay, so there's the link. Click on the link, and sure enough, the movie was downloaded. It was half of the movie. And they actually typed in my name, Matt. And it should have been Matt someone else, but it was my name. And typically, this is what happens. You get an email that you shouldn't have done, I clicked on the link and I got the content. Now, encryption at rest would prevent them accessing the content because you have to enter in a password and be authenticated, and it's encrypted at rest, basically. So that's the typical thing that happens. And when you talk to the studios and TV companies and when they analyse what's gone wrong, typically it's where content has been shared accidentally, and that's the source of the leak, because this content could have got to the wrong hands, and then it could have got up on the internet. So what we're doing here is talking about with and without encryption at rest. So typically the workflow is you have your unencrypted content when you have done, shot the movie or done the daily. You're going to send it through a spare or Signiant, and it's going to be encrypted in that process. When it gets to creative review, sound editing, as soon as it's been opened, the file is in the clear. You can do what you want. You can copy it. You can do whatever. And that's really what we're trying to stop with MediaSeal, is to encrypt it at the beginning and keep it encrypted all the way through the transfer, keep it encrypted while it's in creative review and while it's in captioning and localization and digital cinema and all those things. Now, it was incredibly difficult to build this tool because with professional editing programs, if they see an encrypted file, they can't recognise what the file is, and the editing programs have to have the original content. They have to be able to see a ProRes file. And so what we had to do is build a file system filter driver that sits at the sort of the operating level of the system to do the handoff from the encrypted asset through to the program that's reading back the program. Now, the issue is to make it, as the guy at the beginning of this talk today said, if you put encryption or put any sort of security in place, if it is going to interfere with the creatives doing their work, they're not going to use it. They're going to find a way around it. So we had to build a system that was completely seamless, really. So MediaSeal is file agnostic. It It can deal with any file format, whether it's a PDF, whether it's a a TIFF file, whether it's an Excel sheet. It can deal with any file format at all and in any program. And that's really how people can access content and work on it and play with it in a way that is not going to intrude on what they're doing. Now, one of our great partners, we're the security partner for Avid. Fortium is an Avid security partner. And Avid are passionate about putting MediaSeal so fully integrated into their workflow. It's fully compatible at the moment. And, you know, as it says here, Luis Hernandez, who's the president, said, you know, with Fortium's MediaSeal encryption, Avid's assembling security suite, will be unmatched in the industry. Because, you know, at the moment, you've got so many people working on so many different assets. If there's a leak, it's going to be a big problem. Now, it's all very well me sort of talking this through. I think a lot of people find it difficult to sort of overcome the kind of the immediate sort of perception of when you're putting security solutions in place, you know, oh my God, how long is it going to set up? You know, we're very busy, we haven't got time to set these things up. Well, MediaSeal can be set up in a couple of hours. It's really that straightforward. People say it's extra work, you know, we've got to do different things, but in fact, it's not. You set a distribution template up at the beginning of a project. You're going to be sending the same sort of set of assets to the same sorts of people. You set a distribution list up. You send the content. Again, that's very straightforward. People say, well, it's going to be very disruptive. And you say, well, it's not really. I mean, you know, security is important. You do need to make people realize that security is important. They do need to think about the extra step. But it's not such an extra step that they have to do anything other than sort of entering a password. Obviously, there's a lot more that goes on in the background. And the fourth thing they say is it's expensive. Well, it's not expensive. It's designed to be something you can put into the budget at the beginning of the project. And indeed, you know, people like AMC are doing it with Walking Dead, where they budget in for the time that it's going to be in localization, and it is a sum on a subscription basis month to month. So, trying to actually visualize what that is, if I go here, I'm going to show you.
This is a short video about Fortium's MediaSeal file encryption solution. We're going to explain how it works and show you the recent enhancements in the new version 3.5. What is MediaSeal? It provides security during post-production workflows by encrypting media files at rest in the professional editing programs like Pro Tools, Media Composer, Final Cut, Premiere, and many more. This means files remain protected, for example, during sound and picture editing, location stations, marketing, and so on. Here we are on the dev stage, and we're about to show off the new software 3.5 of MediaSeal. It has a very slick user interface, sometimes known as UI. We're going to have a lot of fun. One of the first things we're going to address is the scrubbing function. It works beautifully with the queues. It also works really well with the Pro Tools. Let's take a look as we do it. So here we go, we're going to play forward, and we're going to take a look at the MediaSeal software updates. We are in the sound stage where we're playing. We're going fast forward, stopping, playing, and boom. With the new updates, even though all the files are wrapped up and encrypted, it's undetectable, it's smooth sailing. No problems, it's smooth sailing from here on out. Boom. We're also going to take a look at the scrubbing function on Pro Tools. A lot of scrubbing back features, especially if you want to do cut some music, and you want to hit some of those areas. Left all pretty solid, rock solid. Again, undetectable, just as on the stage, and in terms of all the files wrapped up very nicely and covered. So now I'm going to open up the encrypted session using Question. I need to input my password to access the file. There's a sleek new user interface to make it much more user-friendly. It's been authorized. Now we can scrub to the system and get on with working with the files just as normal. Nice, responsive, and quick. It works just fine using Clostrip. In summary, you've been watching MediaSeal on a soundstage that the representative live editing session. As you can see, it's seamless and there's no disruption caused to the editing process. When you use MediaSeal first time around, it's pretty easy and quick to set up. There's many new features and enhancements in the latest version of 3.5. For example, there's a smoother navigation. Encryption speeds are faster for high-volume workflows, including 8K. There's a shortcut for encrypting content. It's simply drag and drop files, which automatically get protected with a pre-prepared distribution list. Thank you for watching, and be sure to contact support@mediaseal.com for any more information, questions, and inquiries.
So hopefully that gives a better understanding of how it works in a live scenario. That was on a soundstage with, I think the content was Now You See Me 2, that was for Lionsgate, and the guy, Glenn Morgan, who was narrating that, was a sound engineer who works on some of those titles. And it's really those guys are the ones you have to keep happy. You know, they're doing a production in very sort of fast turnarounds, and they're sort of having to spin up a soundstage, maybe up in Vancouver at short notice to get an actor to come in and do some voiceover. And that's what it's really all about, is trying to persuade people to understand that, you know, having this extra step of encryption, you know, makes it safer for them and also much safer for the production. And here's some of the titles that we've worked on. Bad Santa 2 has just come out, and that was done. Actually, it's very interesting. We went in to see them in September, and they were sort of nervous about it, you know, in that it's kind of sought after. It's got quite a fan base, and they'd had problems with leaks before. And, you know, they said, well, can we get it set up? And so we said, you know, we can probably do it, you know, next week. We went in, got them set up, and they started using it straight away. And, you know, they were pleasantly surprised. We said, how did it go? They said, great. We've you know, didn't find it difficult at all. We had, you know, all of our publicity people were able to get the content, get it spun up, etc. So, good example. You know, much bigger titles like Fast and Furious, they're using MediaSeal. You know, again, very sought-after content. You know, there have been problems with this sort of content leaking. But in the stages where MediaSeal is used, it is locked down and it does a good job. Deepwater Horizon, La La Land, The Founder, other good examples. TV is often more of an issue because, you know, everybody's sort of desperate to see the next episode of, you know, Game of Thrones or Fear of the Walking Dead or whatever it might be. And that's kind of the interest. The TV guys are kind of, in a way, much more commercial. They realise that if the subscription model is broken by people sort of watching it for free, then it kind of ruins the commercial model. I can still have a bit of a problem with the...
question.
Yeah.
So is the software installed on each of the, basically, the Avid machines? Or is it on the storage, or how does that work?
Okay, so the next couple of slides, I'll take you through how it all works. There's kind of three elements to it. We have the key server, and that the key server is stored at the studio or on Amazon Cloud, and this is where it stores the names of the individuals who the content's going to be sent to. The next part is you have the encryption client, and that is with the person who is directing the content, sending the content around, whether it's the person who works on the Aspera or what have you. And then the third element is the decrypt software. And that is installed one time onto the Avid or onto the central server where the Avids are plugging into. And it's one time install. So, yeah, you have software installed of the application. And if I just go back. So to the end user, when they get the content, as far as they're concerned, having installed it on their system, the only difference they'll see is click on the content, up comes the password box, enter the password, and they're good to go. But in fact, what's happening in the background is they've installed the software one time. They are probably using an iLock key, which is what they use anyway to use the Avids. It can be a soft key as well. They're then entering the password to access, open the assets. And then the full thing is that the file is being pinged back via AWS to the key server. And even though they had the credentials to open the file, it's still checking whether they can still do so. because after the file has been sent, you can revoke the permissions. You know, if someone's been working on a particular production for a temporary amount of time and they've gone, then you want to make sure they can't view the content anymore. You can also set a time window. So you can say, I'm going to send the content to, you know, five different vendors, and I only want them to access the content between 9 o'clock in the morning and 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And even after you've set that, you can change those permissions as well. So just clicking back a couple of slides, what I'll do here is I'll set up a job. I will set a time window here. I can set it to around the world. I can say, right, New York time at midday on Friday, wherever that is in the world, whatever time that is in New Zealand or South America, it will set it to that time. So the content can't be viewed until that time, or can it be viewed in that window. Set the password, and you're good to go. Now, when you're doing a job, a typical production, you've got the source folder, and you're going to be sending it to marketing or the soundstage or the trailer department or localization. And all you do really is send the content to the shortcut link, and then it's just importing that template of names, whether it's individual names or it's a department or a group. And once you do that, you then push go, and encrypts it in seconds. The time to copy is the same time as it takes to copy a file from point A to B, but whatever the resource is there is on that server. So extremely quick.
So you send it through your software?
It's the software is installed on your system, and you do the whole thing. We provide software support it, but the software is. I see what you mean. We just encrypt it, and then what you're doing is using a Sparrow, perhaps, or Signiant, or your normal process in order to send the content. In fact, with the Sparrow, we have an integration in Fastspex, whereby there's in fact a drop-down box which says, do you want to media seal encrypt this as well? And if you say yes, it will then ask you for the template of that distribution list, which will connect with the Sparrow list. And then you push go, and as it sends it, it's encrypting it, and so it gets to the other end.
How does it work with ISIS and Workspace and all that?
Same process, actually, with ISIS. ISIS is quite common now. The content is sitting on the ISIS, and it's being called up. And as it calls up, it's talking to the key server. There's a on the ISIS you'll have the decrypt software, and it's talking back to the server, pinging, saying can the content be viewed, and if it's got the authentication rights, it can.
So it encrypts the workspace itself.
It's the file that's encrypted. So when it goes to the ISIS to find the file, it can see the file, and that metadata is being received and pinged back to the server. To confirm that the content can still be viewed. In fact, ISIS was a good case study, because when people were working on these productions, not everybody uses ISIS, but increasingly they are. And the concern was, how quick would it be to ping it back? And we did actually do a bit of extra work to speed that up, but it works fine now, and also with Nexus as well. So really, it shouldn't matter where the content resides. We have a kind of a whitelist where it enables any known program to play back the file. Very occasionally there may be a new program we've never heard of before which is entered into the whitelist, but that's really a phone call and details, and then it can be sort of onboarded as quickly as possible. The effect of trying to access a file when you haven't got the rights, pop-up message will come and say, look, file access denied, wrong password, or you've been timed out, or what have you. But there's going to be a contact number there, an email address. It's going to be late on a Friday or what have you. So we try and make it as user-friendly as possible so that people can, not get frustrated by this. It might be genuine that they, didn't realise they needed to have the credentials, or they're the wrong person, or whatever. But you do need to have that element of trust there. So we've actually got a new model that's coming out, which is actually encrypting a folder on the fly. And this is like a, you have media seal installed on the system. And what it will do is to, you right-click on a folder you might have, and then that will become a kind of an encrypted folder. And anything you drag into that folder will be automatically encrypted. And that gives the ability to integrate with many, many more systems. And we're getting a lot of interest for that. When we come to onboard people for the first time, it may be that, I mean, although we have something like 300 facilities already onboarded with MediaSeal around Hollywood and New York and Canada and Europe and what have you, nevertheless, if you're doing something at short notice, you want to get people onboarded. So we have a web portal, and you'd send the message out to the localization company saying, look, you're going to be getting some content. If you're not enabled with MediaSeal, click on the link and fill out the form. And there's three steps to fill out. And then as soon as you've done that and it's authenticated back to the server, then you're given the rights to then download the software, and click, 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 you can then view the content. So it's sort of very dynamic the way it works like that. We also have full analytics after you've encrypted the file. So when you've encrypted the file, it's going to, as the encryptor administrator, you then go and see, your catalogue of your library of what's been encrypted, the file ID, who the user was access denied or was it granted, and then all the metadata, it logs the IP address, so you can go back retrospectively and see who accessed what content at what time. It's a powerful analytics tool. MediaSeal is a trusted user model. When I send you a file, encrypted file, I'm trusting that you're not going to camcord the file, because I can't stop it if you are. But what I do want to do is, if you save out the file, I want to know that you saved out the file. And so if you've got an encrypted asset open and you save the file out, it's going to tell me, it's going to ping me back and say, look, this person was in QuickTime, this was an ID, this was the movie clip, this was their ID number, so I can act on that very quickly. So there's good forensic ways of doing that. As we integrate deeper into Avid, there's going to be an auto re-encrypt into that system. So when you save out the file, it will automatically re-encrypt it with the same credentials that you had before. People often ask about this being an AWS model. We work in an environment whereby we need to be a non-connected environment. We're in the red zone. There's no connection. And so what people do is have pinhole access out from where they're working through the firewall to the key server sitting in the DMZ, and that's how you do it. So no content is ever exposed to the internet, but you can do the authentication. Where you have slightly stronger red zones, you can have it air-gapped, and you can use fiber channel to talk to the key server. So we tackle it that way. So kind of in summary, the targeted prevention is where you have, you're trying to stop unauthorized or accidental distribution, as I showed on that email. And it's all about where you've got shared access. So where you're sitting together, you have an info app email address or what have you, or that link that I got, you want to make sure that the content is encrypted. So someone who shouldn't be accessing the content, they get the email, they can get the link, but they can't access the content because they haven't got the credentials to do so. Where people are using Dropbox, where they, studios say don't use Dropbox, but people do, obviously for speed and efficiency, but whatever the system is, it doesn't matter if it leaks, because you can't access that content. The system hacks, same thing. Servers are compromised all the time. If the server is compromised, you're not going to be able to get hold of the content, or rather you can't access the content because it's encrypted. It's AES encryption, and really that's what it's doing. It's locking it all down. And the director comes in on a Friday afternoon and says, give me that content on that USB stick. He then rings up on the Sunday and says, I've lost the stick. It doesn't matter because it's encrypted. So the typical workflows would be editing, where you're doing sound or picture editing, localization, where you're doing all those 51 translations, marketing preview, trailers, sizzlers, where you've got the full assets and you're trying to market it, and then digital cinema, obvious one, where you're transcoding into lots and lots of different formats, and obviously for cloud workflows. So that's kind of really it. So the idea of MediaSeal is to preserve revenues at the, that's the goal, and to reduce the risk and reputational risk of damaging leaks, which it does. So it's really an insurance policy. It's seamless to use in the workflow, and it's inexpensive. And that's really it. So it's a very sort of niche tool. There's no one else really doing the same thing, but it's not a huge market, I guess. I think most people are pretty good at observing security protocols, but you do get these leaks where someone came in onto the soundstage. They were at lunch, and suddenly the content is being exposed and what have you. And this is really what it's designed to do. We built it in conjunction with NBC Universal, who use it, and it's a tool that people are so gradually sort of taking up. So that really concludes. Anybody got any other questions? Great. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for attending.